You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We want to thank you for joining us here today. As we are going through the Word of God, we are looking at praising God, why we praise God, how we should praise God. Praising God is an essential for those who follow Jesus. And so today we're going to be in Psalm 50. We're going to be picking up our discussion in verse number 21. But I would like to invite you out to our midweek service. In our midweek service, we're going through the book of Revelation. We also have a kids class. We're working on our youth group and young adults, and we would love to have you come and be a part of that. I produce a study guide as we go through the book of Revelation. And, you know, I'll talk a little bit more about this later. There's a lot of work. You would not really want to see my desk. My desk is very full, and most of it is from sermon research. And there's a lot of, you know, hard work that I've put into study through the years, and I really wish I was better equipped to process that and put it into form that would be easier for my kids to access in the future and other people to access. But time is a precious commodity to me. So between teaching Sunday school and Wednesday night, and also preaching and then doing the radio programs every week, there's a lot of different research, because those things do not always follow the same course. So I want you to know we're not just up there, you know, going off the top of our head or espousing some, you know, crazy theory or anything like that. We are really serious about preaching and teaching biblical truth. So we would be thrilled if you chose to worship with us, not worship us. That's a tired mouth speaking there. It's been a long day already, and it's only 8:30 of a morning. So we would be thrilled if you worshiped God with us, and that takes place tonight at 7 p.m. So hopefully we'll see you there. If not there, maybe Sunday morning. We have a room available. So let's go to Psalm 50. And this is God speaking to the wicked. You could go back and read all the way up to verse number 16. And from verses 16 through 20, God lists the indictment of these morally reprehensible people. I didn't call them that. That's what the word wicked means. It means morally wrong. It means bad. It means wicked. It means evil. And that wickedness shows up in several things. We're not going to go back and review all of those. You can go back and look in verses 16 through 20 yourself and see them and highlight them. Or you can go back and listen to some of our previous broadcasts. Verse number 21 says this: "These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. So after listing the indictment, or indictments would be a more accurate way of saying it, God says, these things you have done. And by the way, when God says you've done it, you've done it. There's no debate. There's no arguing it. It is a statement of fact. It is a statement of truth. And God's now going to address that. And he said, these things you have done, and I kept silent. There are seasons in life when we may not be hearing God speak. The Bible talks about that there would come a time when there would be a famine of hearing the word of God. And I've told our congregation that what that passage doesn't say is that there is going to come a time when there's a long period of time where God is not speaking. It says that the famine will be people not listening to what God is saying. Here, God says, I have kept silent. Now, you and I will experience from time to time times where we may be longing to hear from God and God may not be addressing that situation in the same way that we would like to think. That does not mean that God is ignoring you. It may be that God is working behind the scenes to bring the answer to your request to fruition, and you don't know what's going on. I know that there are many times when my kids were younger, and now I experience some with grandkids, where my grandkids are saying something to me. Now, I have limited focus. God does not have limited focus. He has unlimited capabilities of knowing what every person is thinking, every person is intending to do, every person is doing, what they are plotting. He knows all of that about everybody. But with my children or grandchildren, they may have thought I was ignoring them when in actuality I was working on the answer to their request. I just hadn't verbalized anything. So I can tell you that there was a time when in John chapter 8 where they brought to Jesus the woman caught in the act of adultery, and they were bringing these accusations, and Jesus just stooped down on the ground and started drawing things in the sand. There may be people who think that they know what he wrote on the ground, but the Bible does not specifically say what he wrote on the ground. And at some point in time, he got up and he addressed the situation and said, let him who is without sin throw the first stone. Well, the truth of the matter is there was one there that was without sin, and he did not pick up a stone to throw. There was an unrighteous standard that was being presented there. And in Hosea, it talks about that there would come a time where people would be behaving like that woman was behaving. And Jesus is not approving of her conduct. He just said, where did your accusers go? Where did those that were condemning you go? And she said, they're not here. The Bible talks about that the oldest started leaving before the youngest. But when Jesus looked up and there was nobody there but just the woman, he said, "Where'd they go?" And she said, "They're not here." And he said, "Well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." So I can tell you that the period of not speaking verbally was followed by great spiritual truth. And so if you're going through a time and you are not hearing things from heaven, I want to share some pointers with you. First of all, don't stop praying. Don't stop reading the Bible. Don't stop going to church and hearing the Word of God be preached. You keep listening, because I guarantee you God is going to have wisdom from heaven to share with you. Let all God's people continue to listen. So it's one thing when we're wanting to hear God speak and not hearing, but that's not the case here in verse number 21. God says, "I watched as you did these things. I'm watching as you continue to do these things. And while you have done them, while you are doing them, I have kept silent." Silence is not an endorsement. Silence is not approval. In fact, the silence, and it could be that God, they just weren't listening to God. We'll share a little bit more about some of their reaction in the coming days. But they took that God not speaking was either that he wasn't there, that he didn't care what they were doing, or that he was approving of what they were doing. He said, "These things you have done, and I kept silent." The Bible says that it's impossible for man to tame the tongue. We need God to be in control of our tongue. So Psalm 50, verse number 21 continues, and it says this: "You thought that I was altogether like you." So the fact that they did not hear the still small voice of God, they did not hear the echoes of the Word of God as it had been passed down from generation to generation to generation, they took the void of volume and they drew a conclusion. And the conclusion was this: they thought that God was just like them. So if God was just like them, then God would have been wicked, and he's not, he's holy. That God was a God who doesn't keep covenant, but in reality, God is the covenant-making and the covenant-keeping God. They would think that God doesn't care about teaching people, when everything that God does is about teaching and people hearing and listening and learning. They would have thought that God did not care about the Word, when the Word is alive, it's quick, it's powerful. Their thought processes and everything were all messed up. They would have thought that since they concluded that God was just like them, that he was okay with stealing something that belongs to someone else, that he was unfaithful. You see that in the adultery aspect, that whatever he speaks is deceitful, it is not true, and he doesn't care about relationships. All of those things were things that the wicked thought about God. They were 180 degrees wrong. Their thinking was polar opposite of reality. So, how do we think? You know, God says, you thought that I was altogether like you. Most of the religions of the world created gods in their image. So there were shortcomings, there were failures, there were angry outbursts. I mean, you read the mythology and what a twisted thought process was going on in the Greek mindset for all of that to go on. And that thought process where we're going to create a God in our own image, that goes a long way back, and that is the exact wrong way to think about the relationship with God. You see, God created us, he created mankind in his image for fellowship with him. And when sin entered the world, then the thought processes got all messed up, all twisted, and humanity has been damaging humanity ever since. And how we respond to trauma, how we respond to disappointment and, unmet expectations and all of that sort of stuff, all of those things play into the process of thinking. So their wrong thinking leads them to a place where they are getting ready to be not only told about their indictments as in the previous verses, but they're getting ready to hear the correcting rebuke that comes from God, who is not altogether like them, but is radically different from them and yet loves them. Over the past couple of weeks, past few weeks, there has been a very evident revealing that the people in America have very, very different ways of thinking. The Bible talks about there would come a time when that which is evil would be called good, that which is called good will be deemed evil. And we live in those day and times. We really do. So what do we do if we are not thinking the way that God intended us to think? By the way, the first thing that we've got to do if we are going to create new neural pathways is we have to entertain the thought that there could be something wrong with the way that we think. And by we, I'm talking about humanity. There are no consequences in reality. There are always consequences. There are a lot of people who have very faulty thinking when it comes to accountability spiritually, relationally, financially, civilly. There's always a consequence to the thought and the action. But there has been so much deterioration in teaching biblical thinking or critical thinking that people just assume that everyone thinks just like they do. And here in Psalm 50, we find that God His last indictment, or the indictment we're talking about currently, is they thought God was just like them. But he wasn't. He isn't. And he never will be. If we adopt the thought process that we're trying to make God like us, that's never going to happen. But if we change that and say, you know what, God has given me his word, he's given me a mind, he's given me forgiveness and mercy and grace, he's given me a community of believers of faith so that I can rewire my brain, if you will, my mind can be renewed because God has made me a new creation, and I can change the way that I think from defective thinking to godly thinking because God can do a work and renew my mind. Becoming a believer is not evidence of a lack of critical thinking. It means that you have finally begun the process of allowing God to repair and restore thinking of him in an accurate way, or manner. Last year, I think it was 2024, we did a thing on redemptive compassion. I think it was about 16 or 17 weeks where we were teaching our people that our responsibility is to speak the truth, but to speak the truth in love. There are some people who want to speak in a quote-unquote loving manner, but without being truthful. And I will tell you that if you have to lie to someone in order for that relationship to continue, that is not compassionate at all. It's actually deceptive. So I saw something. It was just a little news article, and the headline intrigued me, and so I thought I would look it up, and it was actually pretty witty. A lady had adopted a puppy from an adoption agency, and it looked like a black lab puppy. And so whenever you adopt a dog from, you know, a shelter or anything like that, you're probably not going to get a purebred. And so this lady decided she would do genetic testing on it. And there were several breeds that were mentioned there. One of them caught my attention because my daughter's last dog, she just passed away a few months ago. But she had some tree walker coonhound in her, and that was one of the traits that was in this particular puppy. But it said Labrador Retriever was only 2%. And from appearance, that's what this lady thought she had. She thought she had a majority lab. It was actually a minority lab. They said... And so someone said, you didn't get a Labrador Retriever, you got a Labrador Deceiver. It looked the part, but genetically, it's not there. So there are a lot of deceptive thoughts that are running around in society, and we need to be people who tell one another the truth. There are also people who speak the truth, but they don't do it with compassion. And that's not what we're called to do, because the goal is not to ridicule or humiliate someone. God's goal is for them to have their spiritual eyes opened, their spiritual hearing opened, so that they can see God for who he is, so that they can repent and be reconciled to the Father. That is God's ultimate goal. And so when we went, took our congregation through that class, there was people from five or six different churches that ended up coming out to that midweek small group. It was a great session. And we had a lot of people that said, you know, I didn't really think that I needed to attend this until I found out, wow, I really need to be speaking the truth in love. And the person who was teaching the class talked about how we can develop new neural pathways to where we think differently than we thought before. For Christians, that means that we bring every thought into submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So anytime that the devil tries to tempt you to believe that God is holding out on you, or that God is ignoring you, or that God isn't concerned about you, God doesn't have a plan for you, that you're somehow a cosmic mistake, whenever those thoughts are brought to your front door, you have the ability to say, return to sender, and shut the door. You bring those thoughts back into alignment with the Word of God and say, you know what? God is not just like me. God, his thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and his ways are higher than my ways. I'm not trying to bring God down to my level. God wants to elevate us through forgiveness, through humility, through his grace, through his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to elevate us and restore us back to what we were supposed to be in the first place, where we resemble the nature and the lifestyle that Jesus wants to have us lead. One of the things that I like to do is watch these videos that go around of things that have been neglected, things that have been deteriorating, and someone comes that has a passion for restoration, and they come in and they clean up the mess and they restore the beauty and they restore the functionality, that which was thought to be long gone and long since possible. I pray today that you will know that God wants us to think like him. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Wanna miss it.